We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is ESPN Upstate. What's happening, South Carolina? It is tremendous, as always, to be with you. I am the aforementioned Rob Brown. Back in the network studios, buttons, switches, levers, microphones. The great one, Lonzo, is in charge of the broadcast, my co-host and executive producer here on the show. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307, 71307 is the text line. Start your text with ESPN. You can also go ahead and shoot us a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. We'll get you to me. At Lonzo on Word, we'll get you to Zoe, and everybody at the station can be reached with a handle at ESPN Upstate. At ESPN Upstate is the handle to reach all of us here at the station. We'd love to hear from you today on the text line at 71307. Asked you which athlete has had the biggest impact on your life because of what they do off of the field. Which athlete has had the biggest impact on you based on what they do away from the field of play? Who is it and why? You can share your stories on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, or you can share your story on air at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. That's the number to jump on air. All right, let's go back to Lonzo. Let's go back to this Saints-Buccaneers game because I want to make myself sad again. Tampa Bay knocks off the New Orleans Saints 30-20 in the NFC divisional round game down in the Big Easy. The Saints dominated the Buccaneers through the regular season, beat them twice, swept the season series, including a 38-3 beatdown in Tampa Bay. But when it mattered the most, the Saints just weren't able to get it done. Tom Brady and his boys come out and end up going walk-off. The Saints, for the most part, controlled the first half of that game. They had a punt return for a touchdown taken off the board thanks to a block in the back call. That was an absolute killer. They also had a couple of other big plays negated by penalties. Drew Brees was not good. 19 of 34 for 134 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. Jameis Winston also came in, tossed a 56-yard touchdown pass on a gadget play. Jared Cook had what likely was the game changer. He caught a pass coming across the middle, the big tight end. Got racked and ended up putting the ball on the ground. Tampa Bay would scoop that one up and end up scoring a touchdown off of it. And it was all Brady after that, 18 of 33, 199. And two touchdowns, a quarterback rating of just 75.7, a QBR of 75.7, a passer rating of 92.9. Good rushing day for the Bucs, too. Two rushers with over 60 yards. Fournette got 63 on 17 carries. Ronald Jones, the second, got 62 yards on 13 carries. And the ball was spread around by Tom Brady as well. He had, I want to say he had 10 or 11 different receivers in that game. That's a very Drew Brees style of play to get that many guys to touch the ball that many times. But I'm going to go on the record and say this, Lonzo. While everybody spent yesterday talking about the legendary greatness of Thomas Christopher Brady Jr., And Tom Brady certainly managed the game right. He was a game manager to me. And you guys know I have an affinity for Tom Brady. Go ahead, judge me. Tom Brady is hated because he is what every one of us wanted to be as a kid. People hate Brady because when we were kids, we all wanted to be an NFL quarterback who won multiple Super Bowls and was the Super Bowl MVP and league MVP and married a supermodel who made more money than us somehow and had good looks, and all the ladies in our lives wanted to be with us. The men hate us because they ain't us. The ladies want to be with us. Every one of us wanted to be Tom Brady growing up, and Tom Brady is the only guy that actually managed to make it happen. Had some good throws here and there, but I think, Lonzo, that it's Tampa Bay's defense that deserves the credit for that win. I mean, Tom Brady played well enough to win, but Tampa Bay's defense coming up with, what, three interceptions and a fumble recovery in that game, if you cut those turnovers in half, I think the Saints end up winning that game. Why is nobody talking about Tampa's defense and instead talking about number 12, who had a good but not great game?
I think we know why. A disinfatuation with Tom Brady and all these soothsayers who predicted that he would be in the Super Bowl this year, they're patting themselves on the back, and they've got to pad his stats and make him look like what they said he was from the beginning of the year. You said game manager, I don't know, three or four times when you were talking about him. That's absolutely what he was, and not a great game manager. This comes down to what you said. It's the defense. If you win the turnover battle, for the most part, you're going to win the game. And four turnovers, that's a lot of turnovers. So you could almost say they won the game because, and I'm sorry, because Drew Brees gave it to them.
I mean, to some degree, Brees. And I'll tell you this, and not to segue the conversation here, but Drew Brees is not healthy, right? He came back too soon. I think we could – there was no – the accuracy was there. The timing – was there, but Drew Brees had no zip on the ball. The ball was not getting where it needed to be. Jared Cook fumbled that ball because it needed to be hit to him 2 steps before it got there to give him time to secure the ball before he got popped.
Yeah, but what do you do if you're Sean Payton and you know that Drew Brees is not healthy, but it's Drew Brees and you know that this is going to be his last game or one of his last games? Do you sit him down and go, listen, it's more about winning and you're too hurt and you're not going to get us there? Or do you do what they did and play him despite how injured he still is?
What a crap spot to be in, right? Like, what a crap spot to be in, because on one hand, I got to tell you, when we got into the mid fourth quarter of that game, when we got late into that game, I was watching with a couple of friends. And when we got late into that game, though, I legitimately, I felt sick, but I was calling for Jameis. Really. When that game got into the fourth quarter, Drew Brees looked so bad that I was calling for Jameis Winston to come in and finish that game because I thought that was the only chance that we were going to ultimately end up having. We needed somebody who could deliver the football, and that night it wasn't Drew Brees. But, yeah, I mean, if you're Sean Payton, this is Brees' last ride. Do you want to be the guy who benches Drew Brees in his foot? Because even if you win that game, that's his final home game. He's not coming back. You got to go on the road to Lambeau. You got to go on the road to Tampa. If that is indeed his last game, you don't want to be the guy that benched Drew Brees in his final home game, even if Tom Brady was having more success than him. And again, it wasn't Brady. That was Tampa's defense that deserved that win ultimately. It was Tampa's defense that created 4 turnovers and moved them on in the playoffs. I don't know, man. It was an interesting quarterback case study all around. Jameis came in. He looked confident. He had an opportunity to throw a 56-yard touchdown pass, and he dropped it on a dime for one of the Saints' 2 touchdown passes. Outside of that, there really wasn't a whole heck of a lot to be happy about for Drew Brees. And I don't know. I mean, as much as I love the guy and as much as he means to me as a Saints fan, as important to me as a Saints fan, do you trade benching Drew Brees in his final home game to give Jameis a shot to come in and move the Saints on to the conference championship game. Give Drew another week to get those ribs feeling better and run it back against Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. I honestly don't know how I would have handled that decision. There, the football only cold hearted S of a B side of me would have sat Drew midway through the fourth quarter and given Jameis a chance to go out there and earn himself a contract for next year. But the emotional, sentimental side of me goes, you cannot bench Drew Brees in his final home game after the 15 years and Lombardi trophy that he's given you.
If Sean Payton would have benched him and they won the game, it still would be all the news. So that Sean Payton actually benched Drew Brees. And think about it. If he benched him and then Jameis goes out and throws three or four interceptions, I know Drew Brees kind of did that. But if it's Jameis, it's expected. You're not expected out of Drew Brees. That's the reason why coaches get paid the big money to make those decisions. And it would seem that he went with his heart this time and decided he wasn't going to go down in history as a guy who benched Drew Brees in his last game on an NFL field.
Yeah. I mean, that's an awful spot to be in. On one hand, we all talk about winning's the most important thing, right? Winning's the most important thing. Would the Saints have been better off with Jameis Winston in the fourth quarter than Drew Brees, which is not a conversation at the beginning of the year. I would have, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that at some point on the air, I would ask the question, would the Saints be better off if they switch from Brees to Winston? I'd have called you crazy and I'd have probably slapped you in the mouth. But here we are. And in the fourth quarter, I legitimately thought to myself, yes, they would be better off with Jameis than Drew Brees right now. Because Drew is not playing good football, and I don't know. I think what prevented him from playing good football, like I said, was the injury. That's why when he came back so quick, even with the flak jacket, when he came back so quick, I on the air said, look, I'm not a professional football player. I'm not in great shape. The only shape I'm in is round. But I've cracked a rib before. I had two cracked ribs. And I can tell you, there was no way in Hades that I'm taking a shot from a middle school linebacker 2 weeks after cracked ribs or 3 weeks or whatever it was. I think he was out four. There's no way. It wrecked me as a person. I couldn't breathe for the better part of 3 weeks. It hurt to breathe for 3 weeks. He came back too early, and he wasn't ready. And I understand why you had to have him come back, right? You were playing for a one seed. And you didn't, after what happened with Taysom Hill, you didn't believe. I mean, you know, you lost the Eagles game. You believe to yourself, we got to fight for a one seed. There's a real chance here we get one. We need our best quarterback out there. But the reality is last Sunday night, Drew Brees was not the best quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Not because he's not the best quarterback. He just wasn't healthy and wasn't ready, and it cost them the game. It cost them the game. He was bad. And it sucks that he goes out that way. You wanted the Disney ending. You wanted the storybook ending, right? Instead of Drew Brees is like, when they do the 30 for 30 on Drew Brees in 5 or 6 years, and his story coming from San Diego, getting turned down by Miami, ending up in New Orleans and going through Katrina and all that, or the recovery phase. When they do the 30 for 30, the lag, you can call it now, write it down. It's easy. I saw it played out. As a matter of fact, that's our buddy Keegan was watching the game with me on Sunday night. I turned to Keegan and I was like, look, when Drew ran into the tunnel and he turned and he looked back over his left shoulder at the field, I said at the moment, that right there is the final frame of the 30 for 30 on Drew Brees. They're going to slow that down, show his face, and when he turns to run back into the tunnel, they're going to fade to black and say, that's the Drew Brees story. Here's what he's doing now. Instead of benching Drew Brees, bringing in Jameis, giving yourself a chance for Drew's last image to be on a podium in Tampa Bay holding up his second Lombardi trophy. I don't know if he'd have got there. Aaron Rodgers looked gangbusters. I got to tell you right now, Green Bay is going to beat Tampa. Green Bay is going to beat Tampa. There's my lock of the week for the weekend. Green Bay is going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But you took away whatever chance you had, and you did it for sentimental reasons. And the problem that I have in breaking this down, Lonzo, is that knowing full well, 99% of decisions in my life, if somebody makes a decision that's based on sentiment, not logic, it drives me crazy because you're not setting yourself up for success. But they made a decision about Drew Brees in the fourth quarter based on sentiment, not logic, and I don't think I would have had the stones to do anything differently than Sean Payton did.
You can look at it as sentiment, but you can also look at it as place in history. If you sit him down, your place in history is solidified as the guy who benched Drew Brees in his final
game.
Even
if it works?
Even if it works.
I mean, he's got three interceptions and a fumble that was caused because he didn't get the ball where it needed to be on time. If that ball hits Jared Cook out of his break instead of three steps into it, Jared Cook probably has time to secure that ball. All four turnovers directly connected to Drew Brees. If you're the guy that sits him down, are you the guy that ruined Drew Brees' last game in the series? And more importantly, do you think there's any chance that you could have gone to Drew Brees and said, look, man, you got three bad turnovers. You got another one that was your fault because the ball was off time. We think we want to throw Jameis in there because we want to win this game. Do you have an issue with it? And I guess the other part of that conversation there, if I'm thinking this out to its conclusion, is now you got this guy in Drew Brees that spent 15 years building a legacy in this dome, in this city, with this franchise, and you got to wonder if he would have taken that as a personal insult that you yanked him. If he's anybody but Drew Brees, he got his ass yanked in the fourth quarter. But you got to wonder, does he take that as an insult to a level that damages his future relationship with the team because it will remain an important one even if he's not playing?
You know, something else to think about, if you put Jameis in there and he lights it up and they win the game, what do you do next week? Because then you're playing in the NFC Championship. You can't put Drew Brees back in there. So all the media is going to be all week about how Drew Brees was benched and he's not starting. And then all the attention will be every time there's a break in play, it's showing Drew Brees sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
There's just that had to cross his mind.
Yeah. Oh, there's zero doubt in my mind that Sean Payton thought at some point about making the switch. I have no doubt that at some point after pick number three that Sean Payton looked and went, I should have made the switch. I need a, you know, again, in a heartless world, right? If I'm playing on Madden and that happens, I'm making the switch because there's no emotion there. But the sentiment and the heartstrings ended up winning that decision, and maybe it cost the Saints the game, maybe it didn't. There's no way for us to ever know, but the possibility is there, and I think that's going to eat Sean Payton. Sean, and by the way, I do think Jameis is back with the Saints next year as the franchise quarterback. Sean said earlier in the week that he wants Jameis back, and after that game was over, somebody filmed Drew after that last interception. Drew Brees walked straight over to Jameis as the time was ticking down, and he kind of grabbed Jameis by the shoulder pad. Jameis looked at him, and Drew mouthed what apparently looked like him saying, "This is your team now," before he walked off the field. Twitter was demanding that I be sad on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. What he meant is, there we go, I'm setting everybody up for what you're going to do next year.
Yeah, yeah, that might be it. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Where's the line between making a football decision and making an emotional decision if you are the head coach of an NFL team in a spot like Sean Payton found himself in? We'll talk about that more later on in the show. Talk some more Tom Brady. Got some NBA. What happened to Clemson basketball this weekend, y'all? Smoked by Virginia. We'll break that game down as well. All that more in the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. Text line 71307. Start your text with ESPN at ESPN. Rob, first thing I need to know today is what is the state of your television, and was there a ladder involved yesterday evening? No, I did not. I did not slam my television on the ground. I did not throw it through a window. I did not hit it with a ladder or a chair or anything else.
Did you watch it at home?
I watched it until the end of the fourth quarter when I knew we were done, and then I took off. I went out, and I didn't want to be at the house.
So you were afraid that the urge might have been there, so you left. So is there, by chance, a ladder somewhere in your place where you live?
There is a step ladder, but I'm never going to throw. Listen, Zoe, you of all people know the budget I'm working with here. I'm not replacing the 70-inch HD because I lost a football game, man. You know? And on top of that, me and the boys had to run some Call of Duty Warzone after it was over. If I slam my TV because I'm mad at football, it means no more video games for your boy. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Okay, you got me there. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah, you know better than that. I'm not throwing away the video games over a football game. It's important, but come on. No, I did not put anything through my television screen. I did not pray. And I'll tell you this. Because I got asked this after the game. Somebody asked me, like, how long do you stay out, you know? About a day. I'm still bummed out about it, but it's not going to, like, wreck my world. You know what I mean? It's like I said earlier in the show. My team have been losers my entire life, right? Like, we got one Lombardi. We've been to two NFC championship games. We have had game after game after game taken away from us, or we gave them away. I mean, we gave away the Minnesota miracle on a dumb play. We had it taken away by the no call of the Rams in the NFC championship game. My team has been losers my whole life. It's not like I'm not used to it at this point. When we don't lose, you know, that one time, it's the exception, not the rule. So, you know, I don't know. So how long, when your team loses a big game, how long does it take for it to get to the point where you're like, well, I'm over it? Or are you one of those people that, like, the game's over, screw it, I got bigger things to do?
Well, before I say this, there are people out there going to accuse me of not being a real fan. The same with you, because, you know, you should be devastated for weeks, months at a time. There's no way you could just get over it, because if you do, well, then you just are not really emotionally attached to your team. I would say 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
20 minutes.
Holy cow. 20 minutes. Dude, I came home. I jumped on the Warzone that night. I think I played two rounds, and I told the guys I was playing. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. My heart's not in it. I don't have anything right now. I got nothing tonight.
Now, see, you should have been able to channel that into – you should have had the best two games you've ever had since playing
that.
No,
because it's not anger, right? Like, I was angry after the Rams no call, after the pass interference that would have sent the Saints to the Super Bowl. And I believe in my heart of hearts, Lonzo, that the New Orleans Saints were better than the New England Patriots that year. I believe that Drew Brees would have beat Tom Brady. But because Roger stupid Goodell had to have his L.A. team, and because Roger Goodell – had to push that having an LA team was the right thing, the LA Rams got to go to the Super Bowl when they didn't earn it, just so Goodell could put Los Angeles on the forefront. How'd that work out for you, clown? How'd that work out for you, red nose? You feel good about what happened? Because the Rams got destroyed, as they should have, because they shouldn't have been there. I believe that the Saints were a better team than the Patriots. And Drew Brees would have won not only Super Bowl number two, but he would have outdueled Tom Brady for it, much closer to his prime than he was this year when he faced off against Brady.
Was
anger.
I want to redeem myself a little bit in the eyes of sports fans. I just want to say I still remember losing a wrestling match to Pippen from South High School back in 1985. And I'm still upset about that. I'm still upset when my son needed 2 points to go to state, and he didn't get those 2 points. So if it's a sport I'm involved in, or something I'm, you know, a family member or friends involved in, that still hits me. But when it comes to you know, my favorite college team or my favorite NFL team, I know there's next year, you know, and the moments that I just pointed out, there was no next year really.
Yeah.
So when there is no next year, that's going to hit you a little bit harder. But in the end, I escaped through those sports things. When Mahomes went down, I thought, hey, man, we're done. You know, and all I could think of is good for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland's going to win this game, and I can root for Cleveland. So I'm okay with the fact that my team's going to lose. And you talked about wanting another Super Bowl. Kansas City's only won one Super Bowl that I remember in my lifetime. They've won two in my lifetime, but I was too little to see the other one. So,
right.
And that was last year. Do I want them to win another one? Absolutely. If they get screwed out of it because of a bad call or something, will I be upset for a little while? Yeah. But I'm not going to cause my blood pressure to go up to the point where I'm physically ill or possibly die because of a game. And there are people out there who will do that, who get violent, and will even want to hurt somebody else because their team lost. They need therapy.
Yeah, that's too far. It's game by game. Like last Sunday's game, it's an L, man. We played like crap. We took an L. The Minnesota Miracle, same thing, man. We had that game won, and we screwed up, and we ended up taking an L. That happens. It's sports. You're going to eat many more L's than you are going to win championships. That's true of literally everybody. The no call against the Rams, I'll be angry about that forever. I'll be only because I know we would have won the Super Bowl that year, and we had it taken from us, not because we did anything wrong, but because the NFL sucks. That was the year that I first really started putting on the tinfoil hat that the NFL absolutely has preferred matchups that they want in their playoff games, right? Now, I can't say that the Saints had the game taken away from them. No, Tampa Bay just beat us. Drew played poorly. The offense played poorly. We just got beat. But, I'm not saying I'm over it. I'll be over it after the Super Bowl. I'm bummed out by it, but I'm not angry about it. The no call against the Rams, I still get heated by. Every time that gets shown, they showed that how many times this weekend? Every time that gets showed on television, I go into a rage again. I'm not going to break my TV because, again, 70-inch HD TV, you're not just replacing that on the fly. At least I'm not.
Does it bother you less because you believe in your heart whoever plays Green Bay is going to lose?
Yes. Okay. I didn't think we weren't going to go to Green Bay and win either. We were going to lose in the conference championship anyway. I would have liked to have had a shot to shock me, but no, it does hurt. If the Saints were like the consensus number one in the power rankings this year and I thought we had the best team and we just screwed the pooch, that would sting more. But I knew we were whoever goes to Green Bay is losing. I mean, they're on a freaking roll right now. They are a machine. Tom Brady is not beating Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field as much as the NFL. But this is the passing the torch moment from Brady to Rodgers as the next great quarterback in the league. That does help a little bit, but it is what it is. At ESPN, there's always next year. Lonzo sounds like a loss-hardened and weary Gamecocks fan.
I identify.
Quick break. We'll come back one more segment, then we'll wrap it up with Twitter trending topics on the Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you here on the broadcast. 844-GSP. ESPN is the number. The Houston Texans have announced that they are going to interview Eric Bieniemy. Remember, Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was the selected head coach of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun wanted Eric Bieniemy to be interviewed. The Texans did not interview him when they were doing their initial rounds of interviewing, and it ticked off Deshaun Watson to the point that for the past week and a half, all we have heard is that Deshaun Watson is angry. Deshaun Watson wants out. His preferred destination is the Miami Dolphins, but that there are no less than seven teams right now that have called the Houston Texans asking what type of trade package they are looking for to be considered for Deshaun Watson, etc. Well, after all of that, over the past couple of weeks. And after it's gotten to be a common accepted thought that Deshaun Watson is going to be shipped out of Houston, now all of the sudden, the Texans are all in on interviewing Eric Bieniemy to see if they want to bring him in as the new head coach. This, to me, Lonzo, reeks of desperation from the Texans. This is the Texans. This is that situation where you get caught doing something that your wife asked you not to do, right? You get caught doing something that your wife asked you not to do, and you're in trouble for it. So what you do in response to get off the hook is you go out and you clean the garage that she asked you to clean 3 weeks ago, right? You're not going to get off the hook with that because that was expected from you already. That should have already been done. If the Texans think that by getting Eric Bieniemy an interview to come in to be the new head coach is going to suddenly fix the issues with Deshaun Watson, if you think that bringing Deshaun's guy in now, after you've already done ticked him off and peeved him out to the point not only does he want out, but he's actually naming the places he wants to go, you're cleaning the garage 3 weeks after the wife asked you to make up for eating the cake that she asked you not to eat because it's for her party the next day. Sorry, man. That's not how it works. I'm leaning further towards Lonzo. I'm leaning towards Deshaun Watson having played his last game with the Houston Texans.
Well, I think another thing is if you didn't want Eric Bieniemy in the first place, but you're doing this to because your quarterback wants him, is that a good move? Because just because your quarterback wants a certain coach doesn't mean that coach is good. And what do they know about good coaching, you could say. I don't know. I really don't know if this is a good move on their part, if they're just trying to appease him. But too many other teams want Deshaun Watson. How could you not take advantage of this situation? You know your team is not good. It's going to be a while before they are good. Why not go ahead and make that move and get something out of it?
Yeah, if I'm the Texans, I'm making the push. I'm not going to lie. If I'm the Texans, I'm making the trade. I'm absolutely doing it. And I'm getting a lot out of it, right? There's seven teams at minimum that are interested in Deshaun Watson.
Or if you're a spiteful sort, you hire Eric Bieniemy and then trade Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, the problem that you have there is that at the end of the day, it's up to Deshaun if he gets traded and where he gets traded to. He's got that no trade clause. So if you bring in Bieniemy, if you fix the problem, which I do not think just bringing in Eric Bieniemy is going to fix the problem. The fact that you brought in Nick Cesario, the former New England Patriot, because you're trying to be Patriots Volume 2.0, which is not something that you can do. Nobody can pull that off. He's already upset enough about that. I don't think that if you do bring in Bieniemy and he does decide, you're not going to be able to pull the spite move of bringing the guy he wants in and lower trade value by getting other teams out of the mix or whatever. I don't know what the deal, what the game plan is there. But I think ultimately you got to look, if Bieniemy's not your guy, you got to pull the trigger, right? You either hire Eric Bieniemy or you get the best that you can get. You get the best trade you can get. And I don't think you're going for anything less than a starting Pro Bowler, another top-tier starting player, and probably two first-rounders and a second-rounder, right? Like, I think if you're I don't think Carolina's given up Christian Run-CMC. I don't think they're giving up the best player on the roster. But if they want to send Teddy Bridgewater, if they want to send one of their Pro Bowl caliber players on defense and then another decent starter that's not a wide receiver, plus the eighth overall pick this year, plus their first rounder for next year, make the move. I think you make the move.
I know the Panthers media, some even connected to the team in some sense, are showing a whole lot of Deshaun Watson pictures on their social media.
Oh, yeah, it's a desire, right? And I wrote a blog on this. You can still find it on our website, ESPNUpstate.com. I wrote an website about, a blog on our website about what it would take to get Deshaun Watson to Carolina, right? The biggest argument, The biggest argument that I had and I made is that if you are the Carolina Panthers, you have two things to play up. Number one, your players have been allowed routinely and repeatedly to go out and voice their issues with the social justice movement. They have not been hindered. They have been allowed to speak. Carolina has made moves over the past couple of years to show that they are on board with that progressive movement, whether you like it or not. And the second thing you do is you say, hey, man, the Carolinas love you for what you did at Clemson. The Carolinas love you. You are going to be in the top three or four in jersey sales right out of the gate because of the number of Clemson fans and the number of Deshaun fans around the Carolinas who will come from every part of North and South Carolina to be there to watch you play. You're gonna be a top five jersey seller right out of the get. You get to come home. Carolina's got a selling point there that nobody else at all has. And if they take advantage of that, maybe. But the problem is, it's a big investment. Regardless of what team decides to go in, it's a big investment. So, I don't know. But I think at the end of the day, if you're the Houston Texans, like I said, you got caught eating the cake the wife told you was for her book club the next day, and cleaning the garage she told you to clean a month and a half ago didn't get you off the hook, and that's what the Texans are trying to do right now. Hey, Deshaun, look, we did that thing you asked us to do, except for, yeah, dude, you didn't do it until you realized he said, if I want a divorce, right? He's asking for the divorce, and now you're trying to fix the marriage. That's not how it works. It's too late. He communicated to you what needed to happen to make this right, and you didn't do it. That's on you. Live with it. And living with it might mean saying goodbye to one of the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League right now in Deshaun Watson. 844 GSP ESPN. Quick break. We come back. Lonzo guides us through our favorite game. We talk about what you're talking about around the upstate. It's Twitter trending topics next on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
All right, it's time for Twitter trending topics. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Look
huh?
at that. Look you at did that. It.
I did. I'll never do it again, but I did it. Where I will give Rob a topic that's trending. He will tell you what he knows about it. Let's start out with something that's everywhere right now. Eric Clapton.
Yeah, Eric Clapton's had a rough go of it. Eric Clapton came out a couple of weeks ago saying that he was didn't really believe in the whole COVID thing and thought that it was overblown, etc. And then a long form article came out where Eric Clapton, way back in the day, and you'd like to think he's grown up and become a better person since then. Back in 1976, went on a big, long, very racist rant in his home country, talking about how they needed to get the foreigners out, et cetera, et cetera. It was very ugly. It's been confirmed multiple times from multiple reputable sources that this did indeed happen. There's no like video of it, but it's been shown by multiple people that it's happened. And Eric Clapton absolutely got hammered because of that. And so I don't know what he's trending for now, if people are still riding him about that, or something else, but, it's been a tough couple of months for Slow Hand.
Well, that's part of it. Another part of it is they're saying that he didn't write cocaine. Somebody else did. And you know what it comes down to is be careful what you say or you might be canceled. And can you really be canceled if you haven't been popular in 30 years? I mean, that's just my question.
You know,
is there any point to the cancellation? Because what have you done?
Yeah, it's not unfair. I mean, he's still Eric Clapton, you know, with that all this stuff. I mean, again, talk about a guy that I have to go, okay, separate the art from the artist, right? Now, again, I don't know if Eric Clapton has evolved his viewpoints and come around to be not so terrible of a person since then, but it is what it is. The whole separating the art from the artist kind of thing needs to be a big discussion. The other part about the whole thing about, you know, getting angry about cancel culture, and I understand the... outrage towards the premise of cancel culture. But look, man, if you come out and go full-blown racism, that's not canceling. That's consequences of your actions. And there is a line, and that line can be very blurry for some people between here and there. But, yeah, I mean, if you go on a racist rant and you get canceled, that's on you, big dog. That's on you.
All right, next up is Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder is trending because it was announced earlier today that Warner Brothers is creating another Willy Wonka movie. This one will be about the shenanigans and hijinks of a young Willy Wonka before he inherited his candy empire. It's being reported that Tom Holland or Timothy Chalamet, I think he was in, I don't know what he was in, but anyway, Tom Holland, of course, Spider-Man, is being eyed as one potential actor to play a young Gene Wilder, well, a young Willy Wonka, the, of course, role that was made famous by Gene Wilder decades ago. So as somebody who read the Willy Wonka books before I watched the movie, I actually really, really liked the Johnny Depp version, the Tim Burton Johnny Depp version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. A lot of people hated it, though. I mean, it was for the most part, it was a flop. I thought it was more true to the book, so I liked it. This is one of those times where I'm like, Hollywood, just make new stuff. Just please make some new stuff. Like, I don't know how many people have any are interested. I mean, I guess I am to some degree to see how it ties up to the Gene Wilder,
you know,
Willy Wonka.
I'm interested, but I was Charlie Bucket. So, and I like both movies, but I was Charlie Bucket from the original.
Can we just talk about the fact that Grandpa Joe was a terrible person? Like, oh, I can't get up and help with the chores. Oh, what's that? You got a tour to the candy factory that I love? Look at me, I can dance. Jerk. Grandpa Joe was a jerk.
That floor was really cold.
Grandpa Joe was a jerk, and you'll never convince me otherwise. All right, that's it. We hand the ball off. Mark Ryan and Diesel coming up next for Offsides. My name is Rob Brown. Thanks to Alonzo for all his hard work as always. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you tomorrow. We do it all over again on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Later.